I thought it might be a good idea to start the new year off with a few good jokes appropriate to the season. Unfortunately, none exist. At least not online. So, here are a few bad ones. A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other. What's the easiest way to keep your New Year's resolution to read more? Watch TV with subtitles. And an animal-themed joke. Dear readers, my New Year's resolution is to tell you a gazillion times how much I caribou you. Sorry. Bad puns. I'll pack a bag and leave. Along with New Year's Day yesterday, every January 1st, the church celebrates the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, formerly known as the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ. That is, until a bunch of male priests changed the name because they got tired of involuntarily wincing and pressing their knees together every time they said it. The jokes just keep coming. Whew, okay. Actually, this first weekend of 2022, in particular, features a mashup of three celebrations: New Year's Day, and the Holy Name, yesterday, and today, the second Sunday after Christmas Day. Now, the way the calendar usually falls, a priest does not often get a chance to preach on either the Holy Name or Christmas too. So I would like to say something about these festival days. Today's readings for the second Sunday after Christmas Day are appropriate for the new year because they speak of hope. Chapter 31 of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, which we just heard from today, is part of a four-chapter section called the Book of Consolations. In these four chapters, Jeremiah offers God's promise of better times ahead, when the people of Judah will return from their exile in Babylon, when they will be restored to their lands. The Babylonians, as you may know, destroyed the temple at Jerusalem in 586 BC. And for 10 years before that, members of Judah's ruling class were forced into exile in Babylon, some also fleeing to Egypt. What's fascinating about this four-chapter book of Consolations is that Jeremiah is proclaiming these words of return to the people of Judah, even as they are being led off into exile. He calls to them as they are herded away from their homes, promising that God will one day restore them to their lands. To their departing backs, he shouts, "Thus says the Lord, together a great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, with consolations I will lead them back. He who scattered Israel will gather him. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them." God offers hope to these exiles even as they are heading out into their darkest years. May return be so for us as well. For we have been led into exile from our former lives too, haven't we? For almost 2 years, this pandemic has kept us from enjoying what we once took for granted, how we once thrived. Perhaps we can apply these words of consolation to our time, trusting that we shall one day return to life again, changed by sorrow or deprivation or by new opportunities, but returned. And though it may seem premature for me to say so, maybe like Jeremiah's words, mine will come true too. You will have your life back again. Not at all the way it was, but maybe cherished more deeply for having been taken away for a time. This too shall pass. You will be comforted, your mourning turned to joy one day. As tired and frustrated as we all are, exile will end someday in some way. So on this first weekend of a new year, when we naturally look to the future with anticipation, fingers crossed and prayers ascending, I speak to you these words of hope and return, as did Jeremiah many centuries ago. Now, I would be remiss if I did not point out one particular verse in Jeremiah that brings home for me this idea of rejoicing after exile. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness. Well, here stands before you the very embodiment of Jeremiah's words of hope. After days of celebration, a priest filled with fatness. Let this be a sign unto thee. Happy days will be here again. Now, about the Feast of the Holy Name, which we celebrated yesterday, but I'm considering it a whole weekend, if you will. Why is the name of Jesus so holy? Well, it derives from the Greek word Jesus, which itself derives from the Hebrew Yeshua or Joshua, which means deliverer or savior. At the start of every new year on January 1st, we remember that we are saved from our all too human selves by the power of God's unconditional love. There is a way to be good again, and this new year brings another chance to try, trusting that even our feeble resolutions to do better this year will be met once more by the unwavering love of Jesus. So that is one great reason to celebrate his name this day, this weekend, and always. Now, you may have noticed in all your years of church going here that at times during our liturgy, when the name of Jesus is said, some of us up here bow our heads. It's not that we're nodding off to sleep, usually. Rather, we are honoring this holy name. The action comes directly from a verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Well, sadly, we are all too old up here to do the bending of the knee thing, but we still acknowledge the name of Jesus with a reverent nod. God bestowed favor on Jesus for emptying himself of the godness inside him and humbling himself. The Greek word for that self-emptying being, kenosis. In effect, Jesus let go of his own divine nature just to be closer to humanity in relationship. So we bow our head at the name of Jesus in thanks for divine love choosing to become flesh among us. And we are also imitating that humility by bowing our heads in submission to God. Now for a few words on circumcision. It is a ritual that welcomes the male child into the Jewish community. It is also an act by which the covenant made between God and Abraham is reenacted and affirmed. In some ways, it is also a submitting of one's progeny, one's offspring, to God's will. The part of a man that procreates is sort of branded as belonging to God. And so our lineage, our children and grandchildren, become intimately linked to our identity as God's children. As I said earlier, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, January 1st, was also known in the past as the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ. Both of those are part of the incarnational cycle that we celebrate each year, beginning with Christmas Eve, and continuing through to the presentation of Christ in the temple on February 2nd. The 40th day after Christmas Day. Today is the ninth day of Christmas, and yesterday, the eighth day after a male is born, is the traditional day, the eighth day of circumcision and of public naming of the child. What could be more incarnational or of the flesh than for God in the form of Jesus to submit to having a circumcision? That our God would submit to such pain in order to be one with us in that particular culture, place, and time is what we also honor this day. Divine love was willing to suffer for the sake of closeness with humanity. Of course, the story of Jesus takes an even darker turn near the end, as even more pain is inflicted on his body, adding to the sacrificial nature that bookends his coming down to be God with us. But also, on this Feast of the Holy Name weekend, if you will, remember something else. Your name has meaning too. The name you were given at birth was a sort of blessing, a one or two word bestowal of the hopes, dreams, and cherished memories of your parents. Shortly after your birth, they named you because of an emotional connection with someone they knew, or for any number of reasons. But your name, that word you will hear all your life, is one that already came loaded with hope, blessing, and history. Remember that your name is a blessing too. And it is at the intersection of your name and the name of Jesus where you will encounter God's call for you. Who you are and all that you bring to this new year, your you-ness, your Carol-ness, your Barbara-ness, will be met by God's unconditional love, inviting you to be Jesus' saving grace in the world this year in your own unique way. Healing, holding, loving others in 2022. But it's up to you how you will answer that invitation. You must say your yes to the name of Jesus, your yes to salvation in your life, and make your way through this year accordingly. In this room right now may be someone who will fall in love in 2022 without ever expecting to. Also in these pews is a heart that may be broken. Some of you will dance for joy and others mourn a loved one's loss. One of you, maybe even two, will finally overcome the fear that keeps you small. While sadly, more than a few of us will remain captive to it for yet another year. This is all part of our journey on the pilgrim's way, all part of the story whose meaning we do not yet know. So how will you meet the possibilities of this new year? Will you choose to love and let yourself be loved? Will you be open to change and overcoming whatever has dogged you all these years? Will you find a way to spend more time doing what you love? In large part, it is up to you. All I can provide for you by way of a map is to say, keep listening for the voice of God's call to you. Hold close your faith in the saving love of Jesus. And use the blessing that is you to bless the world as much as you can this year. Be guided by these words, and maybe the rest will fall into place. My prayer for you today, at the start of a new year, is that of St. Paul's for the Ephesians from today's second reading. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know God, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you. Amen.